Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program, and that is GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto Roundup Ready Plus, weed management solutions. In this week's program, we are going to learn about some branding strategies. I recorded the presentation from the AllTech Symposium that took place last week that was put on by Catherine Keough. She talked about building a mega brand and offered some insights into some of the branding strategies that have worked well for AllTech that she thinks would apply to other companies as well. So I hope you will enjoy and get some insights from her comments.
As Dr. Lyons mentioned, I've been working with the AllTech brand for the past 20 years, and we've evolved what we call our 8 brand principles that have delivered for us. And I think they're applicable to a lot of different brands, they're applicable to different businesses, and I'd like to share them with you today. I believe they're also applicable to our industry. Branding principle number 1, we have to have a purpose. Without purpose, there is no story. Purpose is the heartbeat of an organization. It's what guides behavior. It's what stakeholders and consumers and customers react to. We have to have a purpose that is inspiring, that is meaningful, and that is transparent. And there was a presentation in the food session earlier this week by Carol Cohn from Edelman PR. And they'd gone all around the world and they had interviewed 16,000 different consumers all around the world. And she said, if you remember one thing from this presentation, remember this. 86% of consumers the world over believe that organizations, companies, should put as much emphasis on their societal activities as they do on their business activities. And she said that in their study, they realized that when companies do that, consumers have no problem that they make profits, that they talk about profits, or they talk about the successes of their business. And there are a lot of the big organizations have already are responding to this this new trend and this new drive for purpose. And if you go into a store and buy diapers, you're not just buying diapers, but you're also buying when you buy Pampers, you're also buying one vaccine to help prevent against maternal and neonatal tetanus. Now, that's a really positive purpose. And when I listened to the chief branding officer from Procter & Gamble about last month, he talked about all his brands. And remember, these guys have 26 multi-billion dollar brands. And he said they're looking at their brand portfolio. All their brands have to be purpose-inspired, they have to be benefit-driven, and they have to be built around really big ideas. Branding principle number 2. There are always ways we can be creative, we can be innovative in how we tell our story and in what we do. Why follow the crowd? Why not set the standard? All of the customers, all of our consumers are being bombarded with ever-increasing numbers of messages. The experts say it's 1,009 advertising messages that each individual gets every day. 3.2 billion Facebook comments are posted every day and hundreds of millions of photographs. Millions and millions of tweets going up there. So we have to compete with this. We have to cut through the clutter to get our brand messages out and to get a positive industry message out. And we can learn from the big brands. Unilever, when they brought their Lifebuoy soap into India, they decided they wouldn't just sell a soap. So they put together a 5-year campaign where they educated children on washing their hands daily and they eliminated diarrhea and some of those diseases. Lifebuoy now is the most popular soap in India. Harley Davidson, another great brand. And some time back, they took a look at their brand. They said, you know what, our brand was created for a different era. And again, there may be resonance for some of us in the ag industry where we created our brand for a very different era. And what Harley Davidson did said, we're actually not about motorcycles. We're about selling a dream. We're about freedom. And they built a whole range of products around that. And they're a great example of a brand who surprise and delight their customers, which is number 3. 95% of CEOs surveyed said that customer experience is the only true differentiator. And this is from Colin Shaw's book, Revolutionizing Your Customer Experience. So we don't want to just create good experiences. If you have a good experience, you tell 3 people. If you have a bad experience, you tell 11 people and they tell another 5. If you have a wow experience, you tell 21 people and they go on and tell some more. So we want to be creating wow experiences for our brands, wow experiences for our industry. And create this network of brand and industry ambassadors out there who are going out and sharing our stories. And as we share our stories, we need to be consistent in how we tell our stories and in how we interact. Consumers cannot trust brands who say one thing and do another. And the example that's given is the BP example, where while BP were issuing their mea culpas and trying to fix the problem when there was that big oil leak a couple of years back, and the CEO told the media, you know what, I would really like to have my life back. You know, instantly shattering the illusion that BP genuinely cared about fixing the problem and really damaging that brand. So now we've got our purpose, we've got our story, we've got our consistency. We have to execute and implement to within an inch of our lives. Because CEOs say that the major challenge, this is from a survey of 1,000 different companies, a Harris survey, the major challenge is not putting together the goals or outlining the objectives or writing up the strategy. That's the easy part. The real challenge is getting excellence in the implementation of your strategy and consistency in that implementation. So once we have a story, we need to get out there, we have to tell it, we have to tell it again, we have to tell it again, and execute to within an inch of our lives. And what better way to tell your story and to implement your strategy than through an opportunity that's uniquely suited to your brand? When you identify the opportunity, and there are plenty of opportunities out there for us to communicate, to connect and create conviction in our brands and in our industry, you can build a whole storytelling platform around that opportunity. And it provides a font of storytelling opportunities for your brand and for our industry. Of course, our big opportunities was the World Equestrian Games when they came to Lexington. I think the equestrian sports in general has very positive, takes a very positive message out for our brand, obviously, but also for agriculture. Because here you have a sport where man is in harmony with nature, where man is in harmony with the animal, and where animals are performing at their peak. And it enabled us to connect with a whole different set of stakeholders that we didn't really traditionally connect with. So we were able to connect with the political community. We brought 60,000 consumers, kids, into our pavilions during the event. And basically, it gave us an opportunity to connect with consumers, to tell our brand story, and also to tell our industry story. I'd just like to share the French group who are putting together the World Equestrian Games gave me a video, which they said I could share with you today. So please enjoy this. So we're very proud to be associated with the World Equestrian Games, and we will be building our entire activation program for the 2014 Games around social media, because we do believe that we don't just have to tolerate not really connect with social media. We really need to embrace that technology and make it ours. And if you think about how brands engaged with consumers in the 80s, we used to just send out messages en masse, and that's sort of mass marketing. And then in the 90s, we got a bit more sophisticated, and we carved out segments of the market who we communicated with based on their preferences. And then in the past 10 years, we've been communicating more directly with individual customers, consumers. And now, in this era of the new sort of networked consumer, we are communicating, and then they're also sharing their stories and communicating with each other. So it's a completely different model, and it will change the way consumers interact with our brands. So, for example, in the Cisco ad, you're saying we're not buying the chutney because of the jar, or actually even maybe because we like the chutney, but we're buying it because everyone else tells us the chutney is awesome, and this is what people are telling us on social media. And consumers don't want to be told what to do. They don't want big brands, and they don't want big industry coming in and telling them what to do. So what we have to do is put stories in the hands of consumers so that they can make their own, integrate them, and share them. And Coca-Cola took a look recently at all the YouTube videos and hits where their brand was mentioned. And there was a staggering 146 million YouTube views. I mean, unthinkable. But 26 million of those were what they called impressions, and they were messages that they had actually sent out in some form or other. The majority of them were expressions. This where consumers integrated Coca-Cola into their story. And that is really powerful for a brand because it means that the consumers are actually integrating your brand into their lives, which is really, really powerful. And we had, on a much smaller scale, an example of this where we posted a video during the World Equestrian Games to communicate about the Alltech brand. And we were pretty happy. We had about 5,000 hits on there. Well, then somebody sent me this one. There was a young girl in France, Audrey. I don't know who she is, but she is an equestrian, obviously, and is very passionate about what she does. And she took large parts of our video, including the branded part with Alltech and Lifeforce, and she put together a longer video, which was very inspiring, very motivational for young French equestrians. So we're faced with the dilemma. What do we do? I mean, normally we say, don't use our video, don't use our information. But at the same time, she has 400,000 people looking at it, and I can only get 5,000. So it seems like a pretty good deal for us to let her go ahead and do that and encourage her and give her more stories to share, because that's going to be much more powerful and impactful on the equestrian audience than us just posting our videos. So she's taken our story and she's made it part of hers. And that's sort of the idea of what we're trying to do with the Future Farmers of America, because here there are hundreds of thousands of Audreys. They have over 500,000 members of the Future Farmers of America, and of course many millions of alumni. And we're trying to look at ways we can work with them through the Alltech Ag Network to provide a sort of platform to communicate positive stories about agriculture, to give them an opportunity to engage. And so far, it's been really successful. We introduced it here at the symposium last year. We've got associations with a number of fantastic organizations, Rural Television, the 4-H, Future Farmers of America, and the High School National Rodeo Association. Last July, when they had their annual event, there were 2 million hits on the Alltech Ag Network of kids getting on there looking for information and sharing their stories. And when we're in here today, there are at least as many people watching us live via the Alltech Ag Network. So I believe this can be a really powerful tool, not just for Alltech, but really for our industry, to provide a platform, a go-to place, a gathering place to help tell positive stories about our industry. And we're taking it global. The eighth principle, and one I really, really believe in, is I think we all have to, as Dr. Lyons says, credo. We all have to believe in our brands, and we all have to believe in our industry, because every single brand encounter counts. We need to live our brands with passion, and we need to defend our brands, and we need to defend our industry with passion. And great leaders in our organizations, and great leaders in our companies, and great leaders in our industry don't create great followers. They create other great leaders. And we are all walking touch points for our brand messages and for our industry message. If you just think about it, the 3,000 people who were here this week, if they go back and influence, you know, another 3,000 and another 3,000, think of the sort of critical mass we could get if we were all out there telling really great stories and communicating and connecting and creating conviction among consumers in our industry. So that's the eighth principle, branding starts from within.
That is the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.